Andrew Lewis, Eli Pleasant, and young Zeb Willett returned from watching the Indian village as the sun was covered by boiling clouds. The cool air being whipped up by the approaching storm gave them as much of a chill as the thought of venturing down among the Indians to rescue Zeb's younger brother Daniel. He was being held prisoner by the Indians. Eli and the two younger men had scouted for some sign of just where Daniel was being held. As they related what they'd seen to Andrew's brother Michael, Andrew let Eli and Zeb do the talking. He stood back and watched Michael's face as the old man and the young one described the village. Michael frowned deeply, listening.
Are you sure you can find the right hut? They'll all look alike in the dark.
The one the youngin's in has another behind it, raised way up off the ground. They got food stored underneath. I hear tell they make the young girls sleep up there on the high floor with a ladder taken down so the boys can't get to them. I doubt as it works very good. In my day, it wouldn't have.
It don't matter how dark. I'll know which one Daniel's in. I'll feel it.
Michael gave Zeb a glance that spoke more of sympathy than of belief.
I'd a lot sooner go by seeing than by feeling. Eli, you said those huts look like beehives. They'll buzz like beehives, too, the minute we go in there. We're apt to have the whole tribe down on us before we can get out.
Andrew felt a nervous itching along his backside. A vague idea had come to him as they were riding back along the river. He hesitated to bring it up for fear Michael would automatically reject any idea of his. But perhaps he could plant the seed and let Michael believe the idea had been his own.
Eli, something's bothered me about them grass huts. How can they build a fire inside without burning the place down?
They put the fire right in the middle, with stones around it and a hole in the roof for the smoke to go out. They don't let the fire get too big. One good spark could put them out of house and home in a minute.
Michael's eyes brightened, and Andrew saw that the seed had sprouted. Michael turned away for a minute or so, staring off into the distance.
It just come to me how we can get their attention away from the hut where they're keeping the boy. We'll set off a couple of the huts on the far side. While they're all rushing to try and stop it, we'll run in and grab Zeb's brother.
Seems to me that's what Andy Jackson used to call a diversion.
Miles Nathan stood and walked over to the men.
Whatever you call it, it sounds good to me.
I'm with you, Michael.
Michael frowned at Andrew.
I'm surprised you didn't think of it yourself.
Yeah, I don't have your experience.
Michael looked to the west, where the sun had dropped below the horizon and a heavy cloud was rapidly bringing night's darkness upon the woods.
If it sets to rain in that, accidental fires have to be hard to start.
Andrew turned to the man with the eye patch.
The Reverend, looks to me like it's time you prayed for dry weather.
They waited for full dark. Lightning was flashing to the west when they started. Michael led them out of the timber, but only far enough that they could ride, unimpeded by the tangle of trees and the clutching of briars. They were always near enough to the wood that they could quickly pull back into its protective cover. Andrew worried that the bright flares of lightning might give them away if anyone was alert in the village or guarding his perimeter. Eli tried to ease his mind.
Indians don't seem to ever have caught the white man's liking for guard duty, unless they've got a strong feeling there's an enemy about. Most of the time, they don't bother with setting up a watch. They just turn that over to the dogs and go to sleep.
The men fell silent. Though they rode in a body, each was alone with his own somber thoughts. In a while, they reached the place where the village's horses were loose-herded on an open patch of grassland. Andrew watched for guards and the occasional flash of distant lightning. He saw none, but he knew there must be one or two at least, preventing the horses from straying away in the night. They probably had little thought of attack by an outside enemy.
This thing all started with the Waco stealing horses. It would pay him back good and proper if we was to run away with the whole herd. They'd be worth a fair dollar back in the settlements.
They'd slow us down and get us caught up with, Walker. We're here to get the boy back and nothing else. What's more, if we can get away without having to kill any more Indians, it'll help our chances. Kill one of them, and they're liable to hound us all the way home.
Harlan Mann spoke up.
We killed and buried one already, the one that wounded Paul.
They ain't missed him yet. Chances are they'll never know what come of him.
Reaching the river, the riders moved along its south bank until the smell of smoke began to mix with the pleasant hint of rain on the breeze from the cloudy west.
Wind's still on our side. If we're careful, maybe we won't stir up the camp dogs.
I hope that's not a scalp song or something. You don't reckon they're fixing to burn Daniel at the stake?
Now, I never heard of these Indians doing such as that. If they intended to kill him, they'd have done it at start, like they'd done to your daddy. I expect this is a good place for us to cross the river. The village is right up yonder.
They eased into the water and let the horses drink. Done, they moved up over the north bank and halted. This was very near the spot from which Andrew, Zeb, and Eli had watched earlier. Andrew could make out the vague outlines of many huts. Some had a faint glow from fires built inside, though most looked dark. A few outdoor fires made tiny pinpoints of light. Andrew studied the scene a minute, then pointed.
That's the hut where they had Daniel.
Michael was silent for a time, concentrating his thoughts upon the village.
Where's the door?
It was too dark for him to see that kind of detail.
These huts have generally got two doors, one on the east and one on the west. And the back door faces this side.
Then we ought to be able to go in without having to be exposed to the center of the camp. Now, if somebody could sneak around yonder and touch off a couple of the huts on the far side, it'd draw the attention over that way.
Well, that's a good job for me and Joe.
I'll go and stand guard while they do the honors.
Try not to let anybody see you. It'll be better if they don't realize they've been invaded. Get the fire started, then get back to here. This is where we'll leave the horses.
Michael looked at Zeb Willett.
We don't want to make any mistakes in the dark and find out we've carried off some Indian boy instead of your brother. You want to go with me into the hut?
Zeb nodded grimly.
That's the only way I'd have it.
Two won't be enough. I'm going with you.
Michael frowned, but didn't disagree.
That still leaves three of us.
Michael yielded Fairweather a quick, distrustful glance, then spoke to Miles Nathan.
I want a good, responsible man to stay here and hold on to the horses. If any of them was to get away from us, we'd be in a bad fix.
You can depend on the Reverend and me.
Michael didn't seem to care whether Fairweather assented or not.
I will ask the Lord's hand to guide you.
Michael ignored him.
We take that kindly.
What do you want me to do?
You'll go with us halfway and stand guard to make sure nobody cuts us off from getting back to the horses.
Andrew's pulse quickened as Michael dismounted.
All right, Eli, you all get started. We'll wait till the village is in uproar, then we'll go in.
Eli beckoned Yonson Smith with his chin.
Vamanos!
Let's go.
Andrew was two paces ahead when they reached the backside of the hut. The man or men in the hut had probably gone to help fight the fires. At least, Andrew hoped so. The door was of woven grass, much like the rest of the hut. He grasped it and pulled. It came free, without a hinge. He rushed inside and for a moment felt blind in the darkness. The interior smelled heavily of smoke. The only light was a faint glow of coals in a stone circle at the hut's center.
Daniel, where are you at?
Over here!
Andrew saw Daniel lying on a blanket or a hide. He couldn't tell which. The boy tried to jump to his feet, but couldn't. Daniel's hands and feet were bound, and he was tethered to one of the tree limb braces that made up the hut's framework. A boy, larger than the others, rushed toward Daniel with a knife in his hand. Andrew tripped him and grabbed up the knife as the boy sprawled. He pitched it to Zeb and put his foot gently but firmly on the back of the boy's neck to hold him still. Zeb rushed to his brother. The blade flashed a reflection from the coals as he severed the tether and swept Daniel into his arms.
Daniel!
Zeb!